And we are back. You are listening to Davins. And on the break, that was Ant-Man with house music. Ant-Man with house music. You are listening to Davins Den. Number to call in, 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. On the first part of the show, we talked about dealing with what happens when your current ex shows up and how one should deal with that. And then we talked about my appearance on Arise TV and Arise and Shine. And finally, mine and Joe Curry's appearance on the Joe Cumia show.
Both of which were good.
Yeah, and we found out I'm a condescending prick, which I don't know if that's news. I don't know if that's newsworthy. I'll take that as a no. It's not. I am not loved the way I should be loved. Look at the name on the show as he points to a break front with Crystal.
That's a lovely vase. Yeah, really, I don't know what your point is.
We're in the dining room. The basement's, what are you going to do? The basement's destroyed. I'm not happy about it either.
It's funny that you were playing Ant-Man before because all of a sudden it's so freezing cold out that occasionally we have ant problems in my building at work and all the ants pop back in today.
We got a stink bug problem.
You know what? Yeah, my friend of mine has that too.
Yeah, and it's a problem.
Yeah, don't smush them.
No, well, you know, at least it's a very good stink bug catcher. Somebody's got to be a man in this relationship.
I was going to say, you know what? Maybe that's why she was allowed to go out and have that one last date with the ex.
Well, you know what? I stayed home and baked.
Good for you.
Yeah, I most certainly. I see a bug, I climb on a chair and point to it and get this. That's what I do.
I like your frilly little apron.
Thank you. Don't look underneath it. I'm not wearing underwear.
Oh, now you dare me.
I know.
All right. Oh, God!
Sorry, I didn't know. It's the winter. I got my winter bush.
It's not fiery red.
Well, I did get some ointment.
Thank goodness.
It doesn't match my face on the Joseph Cumia show.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. Yeah.
All right. So I saw this on somebody's Facebook feed. It was from a story from the Tea Party News Network. Dun, 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 dun. So, and the picture in the story that I saw had our Statue of Liberty. We're all patriots here. We all love our Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Wearing a hijab, the headgear that Muslims use to Muslim women use to cover their heads. That's basically a scarf.
Yeah, it was really unusual is that they decided to use the one that was the traditional pattern for the PLO.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. That's what I thought.
Well, I've always thought that Statue of Liberty, the torch is in one hand and a rocket is in the other. I've often said I don't trust her.
No!
What, no? No?
You're tired, you're poor, you huddle, but not you! Bam!
Not you, you Jew. I think it says that. People don't talk about that, but it's there.
It's in very tiny writing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's on the second page of the book she's holding.
No, you have to go right up to the toe.
Yeah.
That's
where
it is.
You suck her toe and go, wow, she hates Jews too. But anyway. So you see this thing. Oh, my God. I just saw the Statue of Liberty a couple of months ago. When did she convert? What is going on? Who climbed up there and put that neatly? And why doesn't it blow off on her head? Well, there must be so many bobby pins in there.
It's cold out there by the East River.
You know what? You're right, Joe. She needs to bundle up. She should use two sweaters. She'd be fine.
Yes.
Harvest
Mr. Hillish.
Sure, absolutely. She's on the water. So I had to read what the story was. I was clearly something terrible is afoot. Besides Joe, in our country. And I needed to read this. So this is from the Tea Party News Network. TPNN,
yes.
For those who don't know. An upcoming field trip for a public middle school in Colorado has caused some outrage amongst parents and the community. The Douglas County School District has sent out a notice to parents of girls participating that they need to comply with strict Sharia dress codes to attend the local mosque. Christians and feminists should be outraged. I always love when the news tells me how to feel.
Yes.
I understand that
because
this is...
you're both of those.
I am. I understand that this is a social studies course teaching various world religions, but with the continuous capitulation to Islam in America, often I capitulate, our children deserve better, and they do. Mm-hmm. The school notes that the field trip is not mandatory, just a dress code if they are attending. Okay, so that's what Tea Party News Network reported, and people were inflamed. And I was going back and forth on somebody's Facebook page and saying, well, you know, you go into an Asian's house, you take off the shoes. Like, call me a racist. Like, no. He's like, what did they say? I said to them, I go, well, if you go into an Asian person's house, you know, you follow their customs, you take off your shoes. He's like, well, yeah, what happens if I invited a Muslim and I told him he couldn't dress like a Muslim? But people call me a racist? You can tell him.
But that's not the... But
welcome to my world, Joe.
If they come into your house and you want them to, you know, dress a certain way, that's your business. But if you're going... The whole thing with this...
Well, I want to get to it. We're going to get into it.
Okay.
But long story short, he admitted very quickly that he was a racist.
Oh, interesting.
Well, that for me was, oh, I guess I'm done here.
My work here.
Usually you guys hide it much better and say that's not the case.
It's case by case.
You say I'm a racist, the cases are over.
Well, I know, but sometimes if you're alluding to somebody's a racist, it might be their point on something. When somebody's coming out and go, I'm a racist, all right, well, in your case.
There's nothing more to discuss.
Let's get coffee. You know what I mean?
My work here is done. You're an asshole. We'll continue.
Right.
I continued no longer with that discussion.
Where's the way you're supposed to go?
he did preface it, but only since September 11th, 2001. And I'm thinking you were probably racist before then. Now you have an excuse. But you don't. As I was telling Pip before the show, you don't turn from a liberal tree hugging guy to I hate Arabs. You know, with one plane crash, it doesn't happen. You might not be as extreme beforehand.
It's a catastrophic event, but I don't think that that's really good. It was already there.
I also, he's like, they need to dress like Americans. He wrote that. I go, well, what do Americans dress like? That didn't get an answer either.
Well, if this is where it gets all case by case. In my opinion.
I don't want you talking in the substance of the story yet, because we're not there.
Okay, then we're not...
You can address, they don't dress like Americans, because maybe you have an answer that I don't know.
I feel that if they're going to come here, they should assimilate. Okay? But that's outside...
That's not this conversation.
But that's outside the conversation.
Yeah.
And actually, America does the best job of assimilating them. I mean, you look at the French Muslim population, and they feel very on the outside. They haven't assimilated properly. They haven't assimilated well, and they're actually fairly assimilated. I mean, there's probably Muslims that you don't know that are working next to you because they feel like, I know, you're very scared, but because they feel like Americans. I'm not talking about all of them. I mean, listen, you're going to have the radicalized ones. We know that. Some are going to be radicalized. But for the most part, our Muslim community is assimilated. They're, you know, walking down the streets. They're doing everything just like everybody else. They feel American, just like your Catholics, your Jews.
It's their plan. I'm kidding.
He's not.
Can I see that picture for a second, Joe?
Say what?
Can I see that picture?
Oh, she is bundled up well, isn't she?
Yeah.
I just realized I bought a hijab for Pip for Christmas.
That's
Wait a minute,
funny.
Mine's animal print.
I'm converting you. La 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 la. All right. Not reported by TPNN, but this was not reported by the Tea Party News Network, but more of the story. For the past 10 years, RHMS 7th grade students take a social studies course that is partially focused on world religion.
Yes.
In the Douglas County School District, we provide authentic learning experiences to all students. We teach them how to think, not what to think. The social studies course includes a voluntary field trip to a Greek Orthodox church, a Jewish temple, and a mosque. As with any field trip, our students and families are offered the choice to participate in the field trip. It is not mandatory. If the decision is made not to participate in a field trip, an alternative educational opportunities are provided. This is true for any DCSD field trip, including the RHMS World Religion Field Trip. Students who choose to attend the RHMS World Religion Field Trip are expected to respect the dress code of the host facility, but again, they may choose not to participate. Information shared with RHMS parents stated all students must wear appropriate long pants, ankles must be covered, girls must bring wide scarves or hooded sweatshirts for the mosque. The World Religion Social Studies course is part of the 7th grade Colorado academic standards, meaning this is part of the state requirement for all Colorado school districts. As part of providing an authentic learning experience for students, they provide an optional field trip to further support for World Religion course, thus allowing students who choose to participate to discuss what they experienced on the field trip with their family members, and eventually leading to the development of their own views. All right, lot to get here. Yeah. Lot to get to the media, the way that was covered.
Right.
Which I want to get to, but first I want to get to the substance.
Yes.
The substance of this. I'm going to say right now, I believe in separation of church and state. I'm not really a fan of any religion being in the public schools, whether it be with Christmas celebrations or, you know, or I had a little dreidel on Hanukkah, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really a fan of any of that stuff.
Right.
You know, there are certainly schools. There are private schools you can go to. There are after schools. You're welcome to go to your church or mosque or temple. But I would like for the schools to be just about facts. Unfortunately, we have plenty of schools that now teach creationism, which, you know, is that God said, let there be light, and there was. And they teach that along with evolution. Unfortunately, we don't have any scientific proof that God said, let there be life. Not that it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't found that evidence yet. So for me, I don't want any of this in there, which I think helps alleviate the problem. But I know some don't feel that way. Joe, what do you feel about that point?
What I feel about the point is this, is that it's not – and also I think when the first article that was put on Facebook, I don't know if it had all the facts, because when I posted that this morning, a lot of people are going, well, you know, they're dragging the kids to this. And
that was my point, Joe, and we're going to get there. They specifically omitted facts.
Okay. Yes. Because what I did was I read the second story, because I noticed a lot, including my nephew Todd, who's very, very on point with stuff. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think that they've got the facts of the second story.
Right.
So I put in and said, folks, look at the second story, please, because there's a lot more to this. They left a lot out. Okay, now here's
we're going to get to the media. I want to get to the substance.
All right,
then
here's the substance of it. I think it's a voluntary class. I also think it's a class.
Well, no, the class is not voluntary. The field trip is voluntary.
The field trip is voluntary.
It's mandatory that they take this world religion class.
Okay. I think the world religion class is very good, because a lot of people, there's a lot of ignorance in the world, and a lot of ignorance in the world comes from not understanding people's backgrounds,
yes,
people's religions.
That's true.
If you go there and you see what goes on and experience it, your mind will be more open.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not Jewish, but you know, when I go, I've been to after somebody passes away, the
shiva call,
my set.
Yeah, a shiva call and something like, and I would go there and I just learn different things.
You would cover your head. You would wear a yarmulke.
I have, out of respect, because you're there. I think it's interesting to learn about the different religions, negative and positive.
So you like the fact that religion is in the school.
I like the fact that it is covered as a class, and I also respect the fact that this field trip is optional.
All right, I want to get to that. Further, Pip, I want your take on religion in class.
Well, first I wanted to speak to the separation of church and state.
Well, that's part of it.
I mean, it's an interesting thing that we discuss the separation of church and state in the United States, but a lot of people believe that as a predominantly Christian country, that leaves out a lot of things that we do as a matter of course and we are expected to do that are really blurring the lines, and Christians don't even notice it because it's like, well, of course you would do that. But as a non-Christian, I say, well, no, not of course. If you are meant to go to court and place your hand on the Bible to swear,
very odd, right?
I don't believe in that book, so putting my hand on that, I might as well have a cookbook there.
Where's your Harry Potter?
Do you have an issue of cat fancy? Because
the Christians don't want to hear that.
They don't.
They don't want to speak to that argument,
right? Because
they'll talk about, well, you look at our money and it says, in God we trust.
There's another problem. No, I don't. So,
but they don't. They don't want to speak to. Listen, I think, let's be honest. If you're going to give off for Christmas, then you kind of should give off for the Jewish holidays and the Muslim holidays. I don't have a problem with the winter break.
Right.
But let's not make it always have to be December 25th.
I don't think that's happened so much out of prejudice that the communities so much so that the communities haven't been that more prevalent. Like, you've always had your Christians, so you would have that. The Jewish people have Hanukkah. A lot more people are coming in from other countries that are Muslim now,
right,
and stuff like that. So eventually you probably will have that holiday.
But can you imagine what certain networks are going to say when students are given off? And actually, I don't really agree with that, because Jews, we have a lot of Jewish holidays. We really don't get off for them. I don't really know if we're going to adapt. But can you imagine if we did? Can't you imagine there being headlines? They're getting Sharia law in Dearborn, Michigan, where there's a high Muslim population. Mm-hmm. Students are now off for the first week of Ramadan. Yeah. I mean, people are going to be outraged because it's not what they believe, which in my opinion is the danger of having any religion in school, because somebody's going to feel left out. I know as a Jewish kid, I felt left out. I didn't begrudge my Christian friends. You know, we didn't protest or anything.
But that's a change of time. I mean, people are off from Martin Luther King's, you know,
but that's
holiday.
Not really, that's not a religion holiday.
But it is something that, you know, after years of intolerance and years of, you know, rising above, we recognized him as a great leader and we got a holiday. It takes time.
Yes.
It takes that. I don't recognize that as a religious thing. I regard that in a time-sensitive thing.
Now, Joe brought up a point which I agree with in some ways. I agree with in a lot of ways. He said, you know, introducing these people to different religions mm-hmm. is a good experience.
Yes.
And I agree with that. But I did not really start to experience different religions until I was in college. Took Religions of the World.
Right.
I took a Holocaust class. I took an Introduction to Islam mm-hmm. class and everything. I kind of feel that you avoid a lot of these situations with the parents weighing in when it's left to college kids, which are adults, to take what they want to take as part of their
learning.
But
wouldn't you also feel that intolerance might be eliminated earlier in people's lives if they learn about more cultures and more religions?
I think children would. Like we've talked about on this show, the generations, the kids coming up now and after my daughter and a little bit before, they're much more tolerant than we were.
Yes.
I do think that's good. I don't think kids even look at these things. But you're seeing how the parents react. Yeah. And now you're exposing these kids to all this hate from their parents that they might not be exposed to.
But there's a great difference between introducing ideas and experiences of different cultures and religions to children and indoctrinating them into those.
I think that's
the fear.
I don't know what they were thinking. But now here's an interesting thing. Joe also mentioned the culture, and I like the culture idea at a very young age. But
yes.
The question, and I don't have an answer to this, can you talk about a culture without talking about a religion? It's kind of hard to do.
You can't really separate some of the countries and the cultures of the countries that their religious leader is the state leader.
Well, right. You have a lot of theocracies.
Yeah. That's a different kind of culture.
Well, it's what the vast – I don't
– so interwoven.
I don't know if it's vast majority. There's a lot of theocracies.
There are a lot of theocracies, and we don't look at it that way as a democracy – well, sort of a democracy. But we still have a lot of leftover – like our country was founded by – predominantly Christian, so we do have a lot of leftover Christian beliefs and
but here's the interesting thing about that.
Things in our system.
It was founded by Puritans who wanted to have their religious belief, which is what this country was founded on. And I raised that, like, well, you know, they should, and kind of to what Joe says, well, they should assimilate and everything. But if you remember, the pioneers, the people who came to this country, they sought religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So now people come to this country right. seeking religious freedom, whether it be Islam or Buddhism or Christianity or Judaism or whatever it is.
Yes.
And you have this scared, xenophobic part of society that says, well, and I'm not saying you're this show, but they have to adjust to our way of life. And to a lot of people, our way of life is going to church every Sunday.
Well, the way of life, by the way of life, I mean they should have respect for where they're coming to try to assimilate into our culture. Okay, don't you know your wife is at the beach covered head to toe in black.
But why does that offend you? I mean, that's their religion. Why does that bother
it
you?
It just seems
you think she's got a great rack and you're missing out.
No, it just it just seems
well,
that every people that have come to this country have come here and respected it and learned to, you know, respect the culture and learned to assimilate to
well,
the culture.
Well, I'll speak to my people. I mean, the Hasidic Jews have their religious garb and they're assimilated. They're working in businesses next to you and, you know, having regular jobs, but they still wear what they want to wear. And, you know, you still see the very Orthodox Jewish women with the long dresses. It's a modesty thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's religion and even Christianity is modesty. It's just, you know, we've kind of thrown the shackles off that because we like to see a great ass. And I got no problem with that. But I mean, just your point of view, I don't understand why that bothers somebody.
It just bothers me because it just shows a lack of respect of the place that you're coming to.
But how is that? If they're still participating in society and voting and running a business and welcoming everybody into their business, you know, they open up a deli, for argument's sake, and they're not saying only Muslims can come to our deli. Anybody can shop at our deli, but we want to wear what we want to wear. How does that affect you?
Because it affects me because it just everybody who's come to this country has come to this country and Italians not to be speaking outside the house. We have to dress Americanized. We love this country. We believe in this country, and we need to to assimilate to this country.
But wait, hold on. I got to stop you right there. You assumed that by main, just from your statement, I don't know if that's what you meant, but by dressing the way they choose to dress in their traditional garb, that they don't love this country. and want to be part of this country. I don't know if you can make that assumption.
But it looks, you know what, though? I can make the assumption that it gives that presentation.
But it doesn't give it to me. Isn't that you're assuming? Unless you've had the conversation with them, go, listen, are you trying to be, do you not feel American? Do you not want to be part of it? And I would assume if they're here, they want to be part of it. I'm not talking about the radicalized ones.
Yeah, really radicalized.
I mean, forget it, they're nuts, whatever, religion. But I mean, that's a big leap. I mean, they chose to live here and start a world here, start a life here for themselves, their kids and everything. And you're assuming because they still hold the tenets of their religion, of their culture, their ethnicity, that they don't want to participate in everything that America has to offer.
But you want to know something? You go to Abu Dhabi, and Joe Kimmy has brought the band there, and there were certain behaviors that Joe had to tell the band, cultural behaviors that the filled the guys in on.
Well, because they were guests. We're talking about people that live right here. They're guests. If you go to Israel and you see certain monuments, certain historical things, you're expected to cover your head. And you know what? Because you're guests.
You're supposed to behave yourself at the Wailing Wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of respect.
Now, don't hump the Wailing Wall. It's wrong. I know there's little holes where you put messages, not penises. I hate to have to tell you people again. But you're talking about being...
I couldn't help myself.
You got to go to temple on Saturday on that
I won't. Anyway.
Moses is going to hit the roof when he hears that.
He'll be fine. He'll walk it off. I lost my point. Nice distraction, sir.
I'm laughing you with nonsense.
Seems to work. When the military is stationed abroad in the Middle East, they cannot drink. They're not even on base, because they're respecting. Now, we're running a war over there. But they're respecting the culture because you're a guest. You don't want to be looked at as a conqueror.
But shouldn't even regardless if you're a guest or you're now a citizen of the country, you should have enough courtesy to assimilate into the dress of the country.
Well, I don't even know what American dress is. I don't even know what that is. But that's you. I see people with the stuff hanging out. I see baggy jeans. Orthodox Jews are covered, with a shade on. They're all Americans.
You don't want them to look like the people from Walmart, do you?
No, well, all right, fine. The Amish.
Yeah, that's a point.
The Amish, they have their bonnets and everything. And nobody would say they're not American. I don't think that. I've never heard the Amish aren't American.
Actually, the Amish distinguish between their own culture and American culture by calling regular Americans English.
Okay, but what I'm saying is we've never had this conversation where they're un-American. They go to the beach and they have their bonnets on and their dresses to their ankles. We've never once had that conversation. I've never heard that conversation. And essentially, it's the same garb.
We're not necessarily afraid of Mennonites and Amish.
Yeah,
there you go. I think that's the point, the fear factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think it's a lack of respect. And a lack of wanting to assimilate to where you've come to. Now that is outside of their place of worship, outside where they go. I mean, the whole thing with the girls. I'm a mess tonight. To cover up and stuff like that when you're going into the mosque, that is totally acceptable.
Yes.
That is acceptable because you're going into their place of worship, same as you wear your muck on your head.
Let's get to that. If you had a child in that school system, would you let the kid go on the field trip?
Yeah.
Pip?
Absolutely.
Would you be upset at first the farcical one that the Tea Party News Network had where it has to be a hijab? Would you be upset with that?
No, I would not. However, I think that when they get into the religion, they see the religion, they also need two sides of the story on the religion. The good side, like Muslim, the good point of Muslims,
yes,
and radical Muslims.
They don't live around here,
and
that's the good point.
But I hope that's part of the curriculum, and I hope.
Well,
that
I'm sure
discussed.
That is. I mean, it's always. I don't know if they say good or bad. I think they kind of teach you what's in the Quran, and you.
But
make your
as
own...
long as, as long as they teach it and they discuss it.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming they do.
All right, let's go with that assumption. As long as it's reviewed in the class and it's some that, sometimes in radical Muslim, the women are not treated right, but, the Muslim is generally a peaceful religion. And if she wants, my daughter wants to go there and she has to wear the hijab it's called?
Hijab, yeah.
Hijab, then that's fine.
Right.
Because they're going there to see and to learn and understand this
religion.
Well,
see, but you have a very rational, even though I vehemently disagree with you on whether on your assimilation argument. That aside, vehemently, you know what I mean.
Vehemently,
that's the word.
Thank you.
But you have a much you have a much more worldly approach that leaves a lot of
because
your brethren to the far right
because,
behind.
Because it's all about respect. It's all about respect. I have enough respect to the place that you're coming to that you want to try to assimilate. I will have enough respect for you that I will teach my daughter and my children that to see the other sides of religions, to see it, to experience, to make their own decisions. Because right. I have enough respect for you and your religion. Respect for you that, yeah, my daughter wearing hijab when they go into a mosque, yeah, that's respect for you. You know, and learning about the religion. It's respect.
Now, I've heard this argument a lot from the far right. Yes. I'm sure you've heard this too, Pip. I'm sure you've seen it too, Joe. Probably from some of your loony friends. That we're giving into Sharia law. Yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen the headlines. And I'm sure you know which network has them more often than not. But what do you think of that? And they presented this as we're giving into Sharia law.
First of all.
Okay.
It's the TPNN.
Well, I want to get to that. That's the next thing. But people who you know, they still say the Sharia law. It's not just the TPNN. There's other news outlets that say it.
When I posted this on my Facebook, the original article, and said that we were going to be discussing this tonight, one of my friends who's a school teacher in Chicago said the word that really bothered her about that article was we're capitulating.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about showing respect for someone else's religion when you're in their house of worship.
Right.
There's nothing about that that means that you are capitulating or you are indoctrinating anyone to that way of thinking or that you are, cowering or bowing down to them.
But it's implied by certain media outlets.
It's
interesting. It's tolerance to some people is equal to capitulating.
Yes.
Which has never been before.
Have they ever heard of diplomacy?
Well, a lot of them don't, but
you
rather
know what
not.
I mean? Like, does that mean that I've heard the same sort of tone used in the media whenever a member of the United States, whether it be the president, the head of, secretary of state, whatever, goes and speaks to another head of state that they might not particularly agree with. And it's like, oh, we're being pussies and we're bowing down to them because we're talking to them.
It's very easy to have this machismo when it's not your arse. Or your family's arse on the line defending your bravado.
Right,
it's very easy to be a tough guy when you have nothing on the line.
But, you know, as somebody who's, right-wing conservative, I have a hard time having an argument.
I know.
About this.
Yeah. Oh, there was more to that.
I
just thought you meant in general.
I have a hard time having an argument.
Well, and
this
is where this is where you put me in the awkward position of sticking up for you to Al Kaz when I had to say no, he's not always like that.
Because I take it case by case. It's a class that's an interesting class that shows religion. The field trip is voluntary. You do need to dress with a hijab if you're going to the mosque because it's a respect of a religion. The same way you would go into a temple and you have to wear.
By the way, the long clothing.
Yeah,
that's for all of them. It's not like you can dress like a whore in a Greek Orthodox church or like in a synagogue. That's respect. That's how you go.
For Protestants dressing like that.
Exactly, and that's not a real religion.
So I think that they're really jumping the gun. I mean,
all right, let's go into the media aspect of it all. Okay, Pip's got a little gleam in her eye. Here's my thing: when a website has the title News Network in their title, my base requirement is that they be news. unfortunately, in my opinion, we're seeing a lot of opinion sites, opinion television stations on both sides, not just the right thing,
right,
that are parading as news.
Right.
To me, this clearly tries to come across as news, as we all saw in some of our responses that we got when we posted this. People took this as news.
Right.
What say you?
They take it as news because it's basically you're stating a fact. You're stating a U.S. school makes girls follow Islam dress code. That's exactly what they're doing. Okay. That's exactly what they're making him follow an Islam dress code, blatantly.
That can't be disputed. That's true.
That's a true statement.
But it's here. No,
doesn't belong on that site.
But here's the deal, where we see facts, and we were discussing facts. Like last week, the whole thing, well, this is facts, but this is a fact. But the thing is disseminating them and finding out, yes, it is, but here's the story.
But here's the problem, and this is why I called you out so much last week, because I think when you post something certain, so you know, because you're affiliated with this show, you know, it's expected in all of us. I hold us all to the same standard. Me too. Expect it to be, well, this is going to be true. And that's why I got so upset with this thing. When you go on something that's called a news network, you expect that to be facts. And so people take that as fact. And they go, well, I don't need to research this any further. Why would you expect, if you go on something called a news network, why would you expect that you, the consumer, have to do more research? Doesn't that tell us what's wrong with our media?
Because they're trying to get headlines.
I understand that. I understand that. But, I mean, I don't think the average person would assume that they have to go beyond this. They go, I'm going to turn on the news, whether it be CBS, NBC, Fox, whatever.
It creates dialogue. Have you seen the dialogue that the post that you made and the post I made this morning in regards to this? Do you know how many comments that we've gotten on this?
No, that's why we're talking. But you also see, Joe, and this was the same thing with the video, where – and this is what I have freedom. There's the mentality that this is true. And they don't do the research. I'm glad you posted. I gave you the other story and everything. I sought it out. And somebody with that video sought out to Snopes and everything. Because people don't think for themselves. And that's what we always practice on this show. Don't just take everything at face value. If you just read that Tea Party News Network story, it's a lot more outrageous. Still, it's a voluntary trip. But that being said, it's a lot more outrageous than when you read the facts from the principal.
If you take the actual – now, just because something is written doesn't mean it's a statement. It could be a true statement. But then if you take it in the larger picture, that doesn't make that the actual overwhelming fact of the story.
Well, I always get concerned when something's called news and they tell me how to feel.
Yes, because it's more opinion.
Call it opinion. We have an opinion section in the paper. It's called the op-ed.
Well, first of all, this particular network, it starts with the – just let's all remember, it starts with the letters TP. Okay? So, and that's
felt good about that one. Felt good about that one coming in.
Yeah,
we all saw it, Pip.
I had a problem with that right away.
Okay.
But having said that, stupidly.
Listen, Stormtrooper jokes don't land either. What are you going to do? Who knows?
Sometimes they're flat. Sometimes you go straight into the barrel. It all depends.
Sure.
But the other thing is that we're not, there used to be a menswear advertisement that used to say, our best consumer.
Sims.
Yes.
Is an educated
customer.
An
educated consumer is our best customer.
Yep.
And that should be the way that people look at when they're digesting news media. Because the thing is that we're not, as a country, we're not as educated about the way that we take in all this information. One of the things that is... one of the actual useful things about having a liberal arts education is
besides being able to waitress.
There's bartending.
Sorry, once in a while we got to inject humor into this.
Liberal arts. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
I am no way saying Pip is a qualified waitress. I want to.
Excuse me. Would you like some gravy on that? I am a qualified waitress. However, but one of the things about that is that you're forced to write research papers all the time. And one of the things that you learn if you write any decent research paper is that you are held to a standard of what is the source of your material. Is it a primary source? Did you actually go and interview, or did you go and do the research? Is it a secondary source? Somebody has done the research for you, and you're reading it, but they have the facts and figures because they were hands-on, and they dove into it. Is it a tertiary source? Is it a fourth, fifth? How far away from the actual event is this source?
Think about what some of our news outlets, whether MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and it doesn't really matter which. When there's these wars going on,
right,
and they don't have reporters,
right,
they actually report what is being tweeted.
Yes.
It's like, wait a minute, they can be, don't look at me like that. They all do it, Joe. They well, we saw this on Twitter. This appears, there seems to be a missile strike. Really? It's Twitter.
Now, to be fair.
I understand why they have to.
Sometimes in those countries, that is the first law.
But at the end of the day, it's Twitter. It's what's going on in Syria and a dick pic. It's all on the same stream.
It's a guy sitting in his apartment looking out the window and telling you what he sees. But I don't know this guy.
Exactly.
He could be watching TV and fantasizing.
It's not vetted. That's my point. But and now right. where we get our news, mm-hmm. the mainstream media.
Right.
We're supposed to take this on face value.
Well, it's like you were saying on Facebook that nobody has the money or the time to do the actual investigation for themselves. So they're relying on what other people are saying. They're using secondary and tertiary sources. But the thing is that you're not vetting what is the agenda of the person writing this, because media is a great source of gatekeeping of information.
All right, let's get to that, and then we'll take our break. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you both. Pip, what do you think the agenda of the media is?
All of the media?
Just overall. I don't mean every source.
No, it's impossible to answer that question because each source.
It's going to make it a hard show that way.
No, each source has its own agenda.
But what, you don't think there's an overall agenda? No?
No.
Okay,
no.
Joe?
It's an overall agenda. On the news.
What do you think?
Sensationalism. They do present the facts. A lot of times between MSNBC and Fox News, MSNBC had a whole thing on the Keystone Pipeline, mm-hmm. why they're it's not a good idea and so on and so forth. And I really haven't seen much on it on Fox News. So
Fox News has covered it. Fox News, I haven't seen recently whether they covered that. You know, there's a whole Obama not showing up at the France thing that'll fuel them for 6 months.
Yeah.
But, well, that's another story for another day. Covered the Keystone Pipeline. I don't know if
it definitely is MSNBC has, because I think
I don't know. MSNBC was very excited when Chris Christie blocked the George Washington Bridge. That was a very big story.
Oh, Jesus.
That was national news when people were stuck in
traffic. They have their own agenda. Basically, what it has been with the news, and it's getting to be a problem where everybody's on either side. Have you heard at all from politicians what's good for the Republican Party, what's good for the Democratic Party? Has any of them ever said what's good for the nation?
Right.
And basically, either end of the spectrum feeds off
of this.
That's
getting into politicians' agenda. I don't want to do that now.
But what it's getting into is that because a lot of it has been fueled with a lot of the news shows. The news shows fuel it. And basically, the politicians jump on that and fuel it. And it fuels it. The same thing, I mean, with the agenda on this. I mean, you know, if U.S. makes girls follow Islam, follow Islam dress code.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is news. Well, it is, but it's not. There's a lot more to it.
It's not accurate.
And basically, everything is a news blip. Everything is a news clip. And what they try to do is just get everything out to get everybody's attention, because there's so many of these news stations. They're fighting for everybody's attention.
Yes.
So everybody's going to bang their drum the loudest they can. Maybe the song might not be that good, but they bang the drum. Maybe it's not that accurate, but they bang the drum. It's gotten to be an epidemic proportion for
this.
Well,
I said this to you on the. Joseph Kumia show Guilty by Association. I said this to you. In my opinion, the media's agenda, all of them, so that's why I can narrow it down, is based on one thing, ratings. That's what it all is.
That's what Tom is saying here.
That's what pays the bills.
Well, I understand why, but it wasn't always – that's the, see, to me, like medical care and news are kind of like the same thing. I don't think – in this one way. I don't think everything has to be for profit. I don't know why we have to necessarily sell big commercials for news. I mean, there should be some stuff that, hey, that we're not really making money on this, but we're doing some good here. Let's report some facts. It's not that way.
No, and you know what? Even the news, even when Walter Cronkite was on, they had advertisement. News was just something to keep people's eyeballs on the television so they could sell things.
But now it's, whether it be MSNBC or Fox News, in my opinion, these are opinion stations.
Yes.
Disguised as news stations.
Yes.
And unfortunately, this is where I got killed by, some of the chat room on Joe's thing. I said, they got their own agenda, man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feed into this, and if you don't look into it, like this Tea Party News Network story, if you don't look into it, then you're playing their game. You're doing exactly what you wanted to do. And then to put a bow on it, like I said on the Joseph Kumia show with the politicians, this feeds into what they do. Because if we're all yelling at each other
yes.
over these fake controversies, or he's not that big on the grand scheme of things controversies, then we're not looking at them and how they're not serving us and how they're cowards and they're failing us.
Yes.
It's all part of the same thing. That's why I try not to get into this stuff anymore, because I know they want me to.
Right.
That, and it's very hard for me because I like to debate and, you know, take a topic and mull it over and get all sides and everything. But they want us yelling at each other.
But you want to know something?
Distracting us.
Yelling and distracting. But it's just the allure of that statement. I mean, we are kind of guilty ourselves. I mean, you wanted to make that. And I'm not. This is nothing against you. But let's just look at it. You wanted to make this the lead story. Okay.
Just because it was getting so much attention when I posted it on Facebook.
Because it was getting so much attention.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We posted this on our Facebook page. Our Facebook pages exploded.
Yes.
On both sides of the coin.
Yep.
Why? Because it we're trying to get people in. We're trying.
Right.
We're as guilty as everybody else.
But I think
this
conversation was a much more reasoned discussion and
let me finish as well. Yeah, we're as guilty. However, we did show the hypocrisy of it. We did show how you need to look at everything.
Right.
You know,
it was a springboard to talk more about checking your sources and really doing your own research.
And like I said, when Davin posted the first article, which was had a lot of the facts left out,
yes,
that was posted, and I was noticing a lot of people, and my nephew Todd, who is extremely educated, extremely well thought. He's traveled the world.
He had a liberal arts education.
He's worked in the Army. He's worked in intelligence. He knows all sorts of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was saying, well, you know, they're making these kids go, and I'm like, oh my God, they're reading this is the first story that this was posted. So I made sure that I went on and got the second story with the facts, and said, folks, please take a look at this and work off of this copy instead of the first copy.
Right.
But it wasn't interesting. And it was funny. I specifically put, when I originally posted it, I don't want to discuss the subject here, you know, about I'm not interested in doing that on Facebook. I want to talk about what you think, and I took out the phrase, you know, that the TPNN had about, you know, you should be outraged and everything.
Yeah.
That was my comment. What do you think of a quote-unquote news source telling you how to feel? But more on the right, but still on the left too. People immediately went to the subject at hand because they wanted to, that's the red meat. You know, they wanted to talk about, you know, the content of that story and these kids being pushed into it. And I go, no. That's not my point.
Right, but that's the nice, shiny coin.
And that's what everybody feeds into.
And you answered your question on why the stations do this.
Yeah.
It's the red meat. It's the shiny coin.
Well, we don't have to worry about ratings. And we certainly don't worry about red meat. But we will take a break. We'll be back with our scammer stuff. You're going to listen to Brenna Swanger. Where can I find that? There we go. Brenna Swanger. We're going to start off with A Million Lies. We'll be right back.